This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, good to be with you.
And you know, Bridget, this is normally the time of our program where we tell people about, maybe the way they can help Catholic Radio by shopping at Kroger or by shopping on Amazon. Those are great ways and they're easy ways to do it. But there's other ways, too, that can result in even bigger gifts. So we've got a couple of experts that are going to be telling us about some things here. If you're 70 and a half or older, you may know some of the ABCs of IRAs and 401ks, and you might even know about IRS RMDs, but you might not know about QCDs that allow you to pass your RMD to a 501c3. What did he just say? I tell you what, we've got some people that do know what I just said. I don't, but so go ahead and introduce our guests, if you would.
Yes, well, our topic today is going to be charitable giving, and it really pretty much any age person can be a charitable giver. And today we have in the studio, actually both of our guests have about five titles each, but Bob Typen is one of our guests. He is the founder of Catholic Radio Indy. Praise God, right? Right, Bob?
Right, indeed.
And he also works as a certified public accountant in his own firm, Typen, Salanders, Pointer and Ayers. I hope I said that somewhat right. And then we also have Brian Weiss, who is a board member and an underwriter here at Catholic Radio Indy. Thank you so much for your support.
And president owner of Marion Financial Partners.
Yes. So they're both experts in this area that we're talking about with charitable giving. So first of all, I think I want to start off with just to tell us a little bit about your business and the services that you offer, and then we'll start talking about charitable giving. Bob, why don't you start? I called on you first. Sorry about that.
Okay. Thank you, Bridget. Yes, I'm a CPA working with small business and individuals in the areas of estate planning, income tax planning. We do the preparation as well as the planning for the future. So one of the things we look at is charitable giving, and that's the topic today. And we certainly encourage people who are over age 70 and a half to give some strong consideration of that. We have a few ideas we can discuss.
Yes. And Brian, tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, as Jim said, it's Marion Financial Partners. It's an investment firm. I refer to myself as an investor coach because once we invest, there's more about the investor behavior that needs to be dealt with than anything else. So that's part of what we do. But also, as part of this overall investing strategy, is the 70 and a half rule, which requires individuals with IRAs to take out mandatory distributions.
Now, 50, 60 years ago, people used to go to high school, go to college, get out of school, get a job, stay there till they retire, got a pension. Hey, it was pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Things have changed a lot in that time. Back in that time I was talking about, there was no such thing as a IRA or a 401k. And Bob, maybe if you would talk about IRAs and 401ks as opposed to pensions.
Okay, IRAs and 401ks are both funded by the individual through salary deferral type arrangements or after tax dollars. You can get a tax deduction for the contributions. The 401k sometimes is matched, many times it's matched in part by the employer. So if an option, really traditional pension plans are kind of rare nowadays. Mm-hmm. Certainly with smaller firms, we don't have them in many of my clients, but they do have 401ks. They're quite popular. But that gives the individual a great amount of control, how much they put away. They typically give you options anywhere from, maybe 1%, 5%, even above. And then the employer will match a certain portion of that depending upon the terms of their plan. And I always encourage my clients to hit it for the max, especially if they're having a match, because if they get a 50% match, for the sake of discussion, you just got a 50% return on your investment the very first year.
So it's free money, right?
Yes, it is. So that's an easy one right there. IRAs are available for individuals who may not have a plan through their work. they can still contribute. The limits are much lower than the 401k limits, so you can't do as much with them. But they're still, it's a good plan, and sometimes you can put away for your spouse as well if your spouse isn't working. So those things have come into the play over the last 30 years or so, and they've expanded them a number of times. The law has changed a number of times, and virtually every time it's been more favorable to the taxpayer.
Now, Ryan, you might, we're talking about retirement, and of course not everybody is at retirement age. You might talk about when it's a good idea to begin thinking about a IRA retirement account or a 401k. You've probably got one of those little calculators that show you if you were at this age and you put in this much for so many years. Those are amazing, aren't they?
Yeah, I actually have a presentation. It's called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Mm-hmm. And you can actually put money away for 10 years when you are 25.
Ooh.
And it compounds dramatically over the lifetime. And at age 65, you do have over $1 million just based on simple compounding and a reasonable rate of return. So what age should they be considering it? At 18? Or as soon as they start working? Mm-hmm. Because it's never too late and it's never too early, because of the compound effect of interest and in returns. So yeah, one of the things I want to touch on with what Bob said is, a lot of times if you have older listeners, sometimes 401ks get rolled over into IRAs.
Okay.
So they may have done that at some point in time. So a 401k can be rolled into an IRA, tax deferred. So they still may have a 401k and or an IRA, and they may have both. So
one of the quirky things that we want to talk about in this program is, it would seem like IRA, 401k, you put money aside, maybe your employer matches it, you end up retiring, you have a lot of money, you can keep it and spend it however you want, except the government says when you hit 70 and a half, you have to start taking it out. But what if you don't want to take it out? What if you don't need the money?
Well, one of the things, if you don't take the money out, the IRS has a provision for that, and I'm sure Bob can touch on that. You then gift half of your return or your required distribution to the IRS in a form of a penalty.
50%.
50%.
Just give it back.
Yes. So that's a painful way to do that. But at 70 and a half, you have to begin taking out a scheduled amount based on your life expectancy, which the IRS has tables. And Bob's going to touch on that. But if you don't do it, it's very painful.
That's one thing about the IRAs. We're talking about required minimum distributions. The IRS put into the, or Congress put into the law, the ability to defer income by putting money into these plans. But the payback is, we want you to pay tax on it. You got a tax deduction when you put it in, we want our share. So they're saying age 70 and a half, you have to start taking it out. That's where they get their share back. And that's where the penalties that Brian alluded to come into play if you don't do that. So it's easily avoided. You just take it out. If you don't need it, put it in a savings account if you have no other choice, or you can certainly get into the charitable contributions.
And we are going to talk about the charitable contributions. We're talking with Bob Typen. He's the founder of Catholic Radio Indy and a certified public accountant, and Brian Weiss, also a Catholic Radio board member and underwriter, who is president and CEO of Marion Financial Partners. And there is a way to benefit a charity without incurring tax with this 70 and a half required disbursement. Can one of you talk about that and how that works, Bob?
Okay, the term is qualified charitable deduction.
Okay.
It's the acronym, as all things with the IRS, they have a lot of acronyms. It's a QCD.
Okay.
That's important to remember, because if you happen to utilize this, you will find out on your tax return, on the front page of the return, there'll actually be a little QCD print out on that page to let the IRS know that, yes, you did receive a distribution, which you may be required if you're over 70 and a half to do. You're required to take a certain amount out. Yes, you did it, but no, you didn't pay tax on it. Why? Because it's below $100,000.
Okay.
That's the maximum you can defer in a given year through this qualified charitable deduction program. So you've reported it properly, and you've also stated that it's not taxable. Now, The other side of that is you can't deduct a charitable contribution, but that still is a favorable element for most individuals, especially in light in the 2018 law, where the standard deduction was raised considerably, and that took some people out of having to be having or being able to itemize their deductions. Well, if that's the case, and you want to put money in as a QCD, you haven't lost a deduction in some cases, and yet you don't report it as income. And you've also satisfied your required minimum distribution calculation. So it's really a win-win situation for taxpayers. Again, it always has to be planned. You need to talk to somebody to make sure that the numbers are going to work for you, because there's all kinds of exceptions and circumstances, but it's not that hard to calculate.
Now, I guess you don't want to wait till you get your required minimum distribution in your bank account and then write a check to your charity, because by the time that's happened, you've already paid taxes or you already owe taxes on that money. So how do you avoid paying that taxes there?
Well, and I don't know if it's an IRS rule, but it is with the custodians that we deal with, that the scenario you just laid out there will not work. Mm-hmm. Because if you take receipt of the funds and your name is taxed, it will not work and qualify for that deduction. So the way to do it is to have the check made out directly to the entity, like Catholic Radio Indy.
Mm-hmm. As a suggestion.
Yes, as the charity. And then in our situation, the checks are sent directly to the individual with the account holder. And then they forward the check on that's made out from Charles Schwab or E-Trade or whoever we use. It's made out to Catholic Charity or Catholic Radio, and then they get the deduction that way. But to take receipt of the funds in your name and pay taxes does not work. Is that right, Bob?
That's correct.
Yeah.
You cannot take possession of the funds. And so care has to be taken. Mm-hmm. And this is an area in the law that can be very easily misconstrued. As a tax preparer, I have to make it very clear that if my client did in fact qualify for that qualified charitable deduction. So documentation is extremely important. Brian's made reference to the fact that you can't go directly to the charity from your IRA to yourself. You can go from IRA to the charity. And then what I do, and I happen to be in that area where you have to make the minimum required distribution, I've selected certain charities, and there's a form my broker has me fill out, and I've kind of copied it out in a little boilerplate form and have it signed up. And whenever I want money transferred to a certain charity, I contact them with the name, address, etc., and my broker takes care of that. Sometimes that's not practical for smaller amounts, but for my regular giving, like at my church, my parish, I send them a check. I don't do it every week. I just do it once a month. I send them some money once a month to meet my parish tithe, and for capital campaigns and things like that. The larger contributions, that works out very nicely.
Now, you mentioned possibly giving to more than one charity.
Oh, absolutely.
And so you can, who do you tell how you want it broken up, and who do you tell who you want the money sent to?
Well, you just contact your custodian of your account and let them know what you want to do. I think most of them that I've experienced thus far is that they have a form, their own form. You fill out the form. It's pretty straightforward. You sign it, and I email it to them. In my case, I can speak directly to that. But I think that's pretty standard as to how all the custodians handle it. Make it as easy as they can, because they don't want to sit down and write a $25 check, I don't think.
Well, adding on to that is we can have as many as you want from a custodian standpoint and an advisor standpoint. And one thing I want to note is that it doesn't have to be the entire required distribution.
Oh.
It can be any portion. So if you're required to take out $5,000, you can give $1,000 to the charity, Catholic Radio Indy, mm-hmm. and then take the rest of the money for yourself. So it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It can be patchwork, however you want. And then another little tidbit, and Bob, you can touch on this, is it's my understanding that the rules say that if you want to use this deduction, you have to wait until the day after you're 70 and a half. Oh. So you cannot do it the year you turn 70 and a half, like taking a distribution out. It has to be 70 and a half in one day. So there's a lot of little twists to this. That's why Bob said seek out help. And yeah, you definitely don't want to make a misstep.
Yeah, that's a definite point, because I incurred that same situation. And I told my business manager at our parish that you're not going to be getting any money from me until I turn 70 and a half. And that date turned out to be September 9th when I'd be the extra day. I said, I'm not going to give you any money until then, but I'll catch up by the end of the year. And he was okay with that one because I didn't want him to think I was
shirking your duty, yeah, right?
That's right.
Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about some ways that you can consider charitable giving. Stay tuned.
We have something new to offer you at CatholicRadioIndy.org. It's a link to My Catholic Life, a resource for traditional Catholic prayers, daily reflections, Catholic Q&A, Divine Mercy prayers, free online books on all kinds of Catholic topics, a complete searchable Catholic Bible, and a whole lot more. Great Catholic content at your fingertips and all free to you from My Catholic Life and your friends at Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio with me, as well as our financial expert guest. We're talking about charitable giving, and our guests are Bob Typen, the founder of Catholic Radio Indy, who is also a certified public accountant in his own firm, and Brian Weiss, who is a Catholic Radio board member and underwriter, who is the president of and CEO of Marion Financial Partners. So, Bob. I mean, Jim, what do you got over there?
Well, we've been talking about a lot of different options that you have when you get to be 70 and a half. But most people, as Brian mentioned, start an IRA, as early as possible. You might be 20, 25, 30 when you start an IRA. But one of the things you do when you set up an IRA or a 401k is pick a beneficiary. Now, oftentimes that would be a family member, but can you make someone other than a family member a beneficiary?
Oh, absolutely. And that'll often change throughout the person's lifetime. You can add and change beneficiaries throughout, especially as maybe a spouse passes on and you need to update it and add maybe kids or charities like Catholic Radio. Case in point, we had that not too long ago where I had a client that was a single lady, didn't have any direct family, had some nieces and nephews, and she had a couple different IRAs that are 100% taxable to the family if they ever receive that. And she also had a regular investment account, which was substantial. And she was very charitably inclined already. And so she wanted to support a couple different charities that she felt that, you know, she wanted to benefit them in a different way. And she didn't feel comfortable doing it monthly or annually. So this was a way she could do a major impact. So we actually made Catholic Radio Indy as one of the primary beneficiaries of an IRA, and then another entity, a beneficiary of the other IRA. Now the benefit here is huge because the charity, as in Catholic Radio, receives 100% of that money and it's not taxed.
Mm.
Okay, if a family member gets it, it's going to be taxed at some point, okay? Now, the family ended up getting a substantial amount of money through the investment account, and they received what's called a stepped-up basis on those investments, so all the growth, none of that was taxed either. So the real loser here was, I'm sorry, the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
The real winners were the charities, Catholic Radio Indy, and the family. So it just takes a little bit of planning and in thinking ahead and working with people that are also charitably inclined so they can help you make sure that you're doing what you want and the most with your money.
Now, earlier we were talking about both IRAs and 401ks. They're both retirement plans that are both self-funded to some degree or another. But what are the main differences, IRA and 401k, Bob?
Well, 401k is a business plan, whereas the IRA is the individual. So you set it up, you have control over it yourself. The 401k, you're going to have to abide by whatever the rules are of that company plan. Unless you happen to be the owner of the company, then you can control that. But in most cases, you're at the mercy of someone else. But there are laws, and they're very uniform laws that are passed so that, you know, there's There's not a lot of variations in most of them for all practical purposes in terms of what you can do. There's forms of how you have to distribute the money when things happen, you know, if you retire or separation for service. You get in a number of issues like that, which is kind of maybe beyond what we need to talk about here. But the IRA is very flexible for the individual. That's why many times when an individual retires, they roll the money over from a company plan to an IRA, where they have more flexibility in what they can do with it. Mm-hmm. Then the IRA is the one where this QCD, the Qualified Charitable Deduction, where that option's available to them. It's not available in the 401k.
Oh, okay. So if someone has a 401k only, they still have to take the minimum required MR
required minimum distribution.
when they reach 70 and a half, they still have to, they got a certain amount of money every year when after they're 70 and a half, whether they want it or not. But with a 401k, they cannot do it with the directly to the charity and save the taxes on it.
That's correct.
So, but are there ways that if you only have a 401k that you can kind of work around that a little bit and get the money into charitable hands that way?
Brian's nodding his head.
That would be rolling it over to an IRA.
Okay.
That's really easy to do. There's a lot of benefits for doing that, especially when it comes to distributing it to beneficiaries, and the QCD is a huge benefit. Otherwise, you miss that opportunity.
What about wills and estates? What about naming, you know, a charity in your will or your estate or your estate planning?
That's an option that a lot of people select. It's not unusual to see a will where you allow so much money to go to different family members, but a percentage, I've seen it as broken down as a percentage of the estate. I've seen it broken down in terms of specific dollars that are left after certain requirements are met. So basically it's just limited to your imagination on how you want to do that. But we certainly encourage our listeners to consider Catholic Radio Indy when they write their wills or make changes to their wills. And if they choose to give a portion of it, we certainly would be grateful.
A couple of little bits of information people would need if they were doing that. And if you'll call the station anytime at all, we can tell you about it. You would probably want our legal name, which is not Catholic Radio Indy. And you would want our tax ID number, which we're happy to give anyone. But if you're going to make Catholic Radio a beneficiary, you'd want our official corporate name and our tax ID number so that when the distribution were to be distributed, that it would indeed come to Catholic Radio Indy here. So,
maybe I'm throwing you a curveball here, but if you are not on the older end of, you know, like 70 and above, which we talked about in terms of disbursement, what can younger people do in terms of charitable giving? Are there other things that they can do in terms of, one, you named like naming the beneficiary? Is there anything else you can think of in terms of a tax incentive that you both have ideas? Go ahead.
Well, an option is just securities. If you own stocks and bonds, you could certainly take an appreciated stock. Highly appreciated stock is very beneficial to the individual. If you have a stock that you pay $10 a share for and it's now worth $50 a share, for instance, you give that stock to the charity, you get a charitable deduction for the $50, even though you only paid $10, and you don't have to pay tax on that. So that's a nice option for a lot of individuals. That has nothing to do with an IRA. We're talking about some money that you have in your own name as opposed into the trust of an IRA.
Mm-hmm. That's a good distinction. I never thought about like stocks or, you know, that category. Now, are there other categories that we haven't touched on that might be of value to our audience in terms of charitable giving?
No, I think one thing I want to touch on with that stock,
sure.
I mean, we've actually had that as a radio station. We've had people donate stocks. It does need to be in kind, which means you need to literally transfer that stock over to the radio station. The radio station has an account. You don't want to sell the stock and then give the money, or else you don't get the benefit. the charity gets the benefit, but it kind of defeats the whole purpose of doing that. So again, coordinating that with someone you work with or calling the station to get some assistance with that would be definitely in your benefit, because you don't want to do something that's going to be detrimental to the actual donor.
Okay, well, we've got just a couple of minutes left in our program here, and if we could go through the ABCs again here.
I don't think you could repeat what you said when we started.
No,
that was really good.
I think you wrote that out, right, Jim? You had a cheat sheet.
I had to go get it. It was written down.
That was pretty good.
It was written down somewhere. But people with an IRA or a 401k have to start taking minimum distributions at age 70 and a half. And the ways they can get them to charity tax-free again are?
They can do the qualified charitable deduction using that their RMD or the required minimum distribution for some or part of that. As we said earlier, if you have a 401k, you most likely won't be able to do the qualified charitable deduction. So you do have the benefit of rolling that out into an IRA. So you would have that ability to do that. The one thing is that even if you have a 401k and you're still working, there might be an exception to where you don't have to take out the required distribution. Am I right, Bob?
That's correct.
Depending on what the plan outlines. So we don't want to say everybody's this way. Mm-hmm. So I want to make that clarification. Always check with your professional.
And we've been talking about a required minimum distribution. If you want to contribute more than the minimum distribution, can you still do that tax-free?
Yes, you can. The option, let's just a quick example. I think we used the example of a $5,000 required minimum distribution a few moments ago. You could give out $1,000 of that to a charity, and then you'd only pay tax on the other four if you distributed five. But let's say you chose to give more. You could take more out, the required minimum. The M is for minimum, but so you can go much higher. Under the qualified charitable deduction rules, the maximum you can take out is $100,000 a year. And some individuals I know who have other sources of funds have dedicated their 401ks strictly to charity. Mm-hmm. Take them out over a current year, multiple years, whatever. But that's the way they've handled it, and then they save the taxes.
Okay. We've thrown out a lot of information, no doubt about that, a lot of acronyms and initials and letters and numbers. But you're not out there all by yourself. You can get help anytime you want to. If you call us here at Catholic Radio Indy, 317-870-8400. Anytime, call us here. We can put you directly in touch with Bob Typen or Brian Weiss, either one. We've got their information here, and they can give it to you all in a one-on-one basis where it will probably make even more sense.
Yes, I mean, this has been really, really great, really interesting, and thank you so much, Bob Typen and Brian Weiss, for talking about charitable giving, and God bless you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.